You are all set.
Thank you.
Have a good rest of your day.
Safe travels across the town.
Thank you.
Case number 10, 21-869. Good afternoon. Sir, can you please identify yourself for the records, spelling your last name, which is pretty obvious, and indicating the authority you're representing here today?
Sure. Scott Smith, Lieutenant with the Newtown Police Department. It's S-M-I-T-H.
Duly noted. All right, Lieutenant, you're entitled to a brief opening statement if you'd like.
All right. The appellant's application for a pistol permit was denied as a result of, or for suitability as a result of an investigation that took place by our department June 5th, 2018, the result of which was the completion of a police emergency examination request and his being sent to the hospital.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Sir, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes. I sent the packet in. It was kind of long. It was 3 pages. Has anybody had a chance to read
it? How many pages?
3.
3?
I can read it quickly.
What does it consist of, sir?
Basically an explanation of what happened that day and the follow-up from it.
We've got that.
Yes, that's it.
We have that.
Okay. Should I read it or...?
Well, this is brief opening statement, so
okay,
that's not
brief, oh,
too
sorry.
Brief.
Brief opening statement. that's not brief. On the day in question, I was under a lot of stress, had a fight with my wife at the time. No, still my wife, but had a fight with my wife, and basically I wanted to be left alone, shut my phone off. And my sister has a habit of panicking, and when I did not respond to her phone calls and texts, she doesn't have an iPhone, so she couldn't tell that my phone was off. She called the Newtown Police Department because my wife couldn't get hold of me either, even though she had an idea where I was, but she didn't know. So my sister called the Newtown PD, and that resulted in me eventually... Am I allowed to say the other officer involved, her name?
Mm-hmm.
Because she's... Okay, that is what started the conversation with Officer McCarthy on that day. And as he stated, eventually I was admitted to the hospital because it's what I was told that the day is a standard procedure. And basically my stubbornness is what led to the standard procedure happening, because in my frame of mind I didn't feel like being told what to do. I just needed some time alone and nobody was letting that happen. So my mistake for doing that, but at the end of the day, everything that was stated is totally false. And given the chance, I'll explain on that.
Okay, thank you, sir. Lieutenant, it is your turn to tell us what you'd like us to know.
Sure. So June 5th, 2018, the appellant's sister did call us with concerns regarding his well-being, asked that we check on him. And the investigation entailed the officer speaking with his sister and his wife, who both expressed concerns about his mental state and possibility that he was considering suicide. I guess these thoughts were exacerbated by something that was relayed to us that occurred approximately 3 years prior. That was, they reported that he had attempted suicide with a firearm. So during the course of this investigation, the investigating officer made contact with the appellant on the telephone. They spoke on the phone for approximately 40 minutes. During that conversation, she's prior most experienced crisis intervention team officer, so thorough in her questioning. He was asked multiple times if he was considering suicide, which he would not say no to. So he wouldn't disclose his location either. His wife believed that he was in Stratford. So we did do an emergency ping on the cell phone, which helped us locate him in Stratford. Stratford Police Department located him parked there. We completed the police emergency examination request form, faxed it over to Stratford Police Department, who did have him transported to the hospital. As a result of that, his permit was revoked on June 14th, and then I guess he applied for a permit in 2021.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Sir, do you have any questions of the lieutenant?
Well, a basic question, when they decided to deny my permit, did anybody reach out to me to talk about that day what happened?
It doesn't appear so.
Okay.
That's it. Questions by the board?
No, but I would have had the same question, as I always do. It's always good to reach out.
Lieutenant, any other witnesses?
No.
Okay, sir, it's your case.
Okay. First, I'll read this, and then I'll add a couple things afterwards.
Okay, just speak up.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. You don't have to read a letter that we have. But we,
okay.
Personally, I'd rather hear you tell the story than read
okay.
what you prepared. We have what you wrote.
Okay, so as I stated before, very bad day. What led up to that day, which is in the letter, I had back surgery a few months before that, and because of a workman's comp case, I fell off a helicopter. At the last minute, they denied my comp, so I was faced with back surgery, loss of income. I told my ex-wife, and she was very agreeable to this, that my child support would be dropping because of my lack of income, which is 100% legal. She agreed to it, don't worry about it. And then after my surgery, she said, oh no, I just said you could pay me back later. And I found out through my attorney that since I didn't file anything, that's basically the truth, because nothing was ever legally done. She just verbally agreed to it. So that ended up in a court case. Just married to my wife, and upon moving into the house, I realized that her mother that was living in the in-law apartment was extremely verbally and borderline physically abusive with her. That was very hard to handle. And also, but we tried very hard to make things work. We had many meetings with her social worker, and also the Newtown PT was involved multiple times, I think two or three times before I moved in, and three times after I moved in due to her. She's thrown furniture at us, tried to poison our food. I have all this caught on video because we had cameras in the house. My son's extremely allergic to cats. She let her cat into his room when we were home. And it's what I was living through was hell. And a 79-year-old woman who, if you read into the police report, the investigation that they did, Officer McCarthy, actually found out that at the senior center, everybody there was tired of her because she would manipulate people, and because she was legally blind and trying to get help, make them do everything for her. So it was a really bad situation. And we eventually, basically, we were trying to evict her eventually. That's what ended up happening. And this was starting when that fight happened. And the reason I ended up fighting with my wife about that is because I'm watching my wife be abused every day, you know, furniture thrown at her, being screamed at, being called things that are just really hard to handle as a newlywed especially. And I have to sit there and take it and not do anything because you can't. And every time I called the police, they would come, they would say, calm down. Everybody would calm down, and they'd say, just deal with it civilly. So we tried, didn't work. We tried evicting her. Officer McCarthy was actually there to appear in court in the eviction process as one of our witnesses for what she had witnessed. And we never got in front of the judge because the prior trial took too long. We ended up kind of agreeing to everything. And then out of the blue, she decided to just move out, which was a godsend. So since then, she's living in Nanawagon, Newtown, and she's not happy, but I don't think she'll ever be happy. We visit her from time to time, but we have to keep her at bay because that's what keeps our household safe. Now, as far as the day in question, my sister has a very, very bad habit of being the Chicken Little, the sky is falling. So the conversation I had with her that morning, I used to speak to her every morning or almost every morning, and you know, hi, how you doing? We text or talk, and it always ended with an I love you. So that day, because of the fight with my wife and because of what was going on with my ex-wife and with the mother-in-law, I just was so distraught at the fact that I'm watching a woman treat her daughter the way she was treating her, and it makes you look at your own life and want to make sure that never happens. And I was at such a low, especially that day, and I just told my sister, I was like, you know, I gotta fix this. I gotta do something. And we have to say, just remember to say, I love you, you know, because it's so important. And that's kind of how that call ended. I mean, to my own discredit, I mean, I was very angry, very blunt, and I could have handled that part differently, but I shut my phone off. I went to the Short Beach or the seawall, and I just hung out in the sand, walking up and down the beach, trying to just calm myself. And I had calmed myself, and then turned on my phone, and I see the message from Officer McCarthy, and that kind of just shot me up into the stratosphere again, because I knew my sister had to be behind it. And I spoke with Officer McCarthy and explained everything to her, and I think we had a lot of back and forth, and she agreed to help me with my mother-in-law, which was awesome, and she eventually did. And I was, I mean, pardon the pun, but I was a wise ass. She asked me multiple times, please tell me you're not gonna hurt myself, and I said, I'm fine. You know, I'm a grown man, I don't need to, it's in that moment, and I've learned a lot since then. When an officer is asking you to say three simple words, you say them. Don't. It was a bravado thing, and it's extremely unfortunate because she was just doing her job, and I've grown to actually respect her a lot since then. So, but my sister, on the other hand, just continues to over-exaggerate. The claim that she made to the police was inaccurate. So I admitted myself to the hospital 10 years ago now, because I had just gone through a divorce. I hadn't seen my kids in months. I was living in a very bad situation because I was still paying the mortgage on the house where my children were living. And I was living with a friend who smoked and drank, and I was just in a really bad place financially and mentally. And I had decided, I told my sister, I don't know if it's worth living anymore. So she's like, you gotta tell somebody. And I told her, I've called my therapist multiple times. He's agreed to see my ex-wife instead of me. So that's what led to me calling the hospital, and ended up showing up at the emergency room, and I told them that I was considering suicide. Do you have guns? Yes, I have guns. So that's what led up to that. When I was in the psych ward, I told them that I never did anything with a firearm, and they said, you're just saying that now. I was like, well, that's the truth. My guns were locked up. I didn't have it out of the safe. But it, you know, once you say something, you can't unsay it. So that's what led to that. But that was 10 years ago, so my sister was inaccurate with all of that. But in this case, I mean, I've done nothing but be a law-abiding citizen my whole life. I've never been arrested, never had a ticket. I am as clean as a whistle. I've had a pistol permit since I was 18 years old. Nobody's ever seen my gun, because I've always been, even though now it's open carry mainly, I've always been very private, very professional, never doing anything out of line with firearms. So, and the reason, just to jump back to my permit was revoked, the reason I didn't appeal when it was revoked was because the state issued the revocation letter to my ex-wife. And she did not give it to me until about 2-3 days before the 90-day window to appeal. And it was opened. So that's a little bit of foul play, but I'd rather not deal with her at this point as far as dredging that up. So, and then I called, I think I might have, were you here 3-4 years ago? Okay, I might have spoken with you. I know I called, it was like 2 days before my appeal date was the 90 days, and I said, what do? I don't have a chance to appeal. I think I should hire an attorney. And somebody advised me,
Nancy.
Okay, somebody had just advised me to maybe be better off just to wait a couple of years and apply for a new permit.
That I don't remember saying, because you could have sent an email at that point, because you were within your 90 days.
Okay, I mean, it might have been after, but it's, I know at that point.
That's what we would suggest, is to send an email. That would solidify.
Yeah, it could be.
He called the state.
It could have been.
But also, I was in the middle of the eviction process, and I just had too much on my plate.
Right,
it was,
right.
I mean, in a sense, it was kind of a godsend that I had these 2 years to just, like, let everything settle down.
You live in Newtown, right?
Yes.
She's heard that conversation.
Lieutenant, do you have any questions of the appellant?
Just a quick clarification. You did, in the application, you mentioned your permit was revoked on June 14th, and then the reason why you said an incident that occurred on June 14th, I see you're referring to the June 5th incident, right? The
yes.
same incident? Okay.
Yes, the same incident.
All right, so that's it.
Yes.
Questions by the board?
Yes, I
do. Sure, Chief.
When you admitted yourself to the hospital,
yes.
what year was that?
That was 10 years ago, so that was 2013. Yes, right around now, 2013,
all right,
give or take.
So it's about 9 years ago.
It's 2023, so that was 10 years ago.
You say 2013?
No, it was 2013,
okay,
so that, yeah, that was 10 years ago.
And at that point, you were suicidal?
I was definitely down. I didn't try anything, but I was having suicidal thoughts, because it's...
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Yes, yes.
Obviously, you didn't try anything. And did you say that... Said you were thinking of suicide with a firearm?
No, I said, they asked you, do you have any firearms? I said,
oh,
yes.
Okay. Were you thinking of suicide with a firearm? I mean, how would you have committed suicide back then?
Honestly, I don't. It's more of just a, I want everything to end. It's not a how.
Well, sometimes it is. Sometimes people develop a plan. Sometimes they take steps toward that plan. And sometimes they are, I don't want to say successful, because it's not a success. But, so you had the thoughts, but you didn't take any. Steps toward that. All right, so fast forward to 2018. In this case, your sister thought you were thinking of suicide. Was she aware, and she was aware of the incident prior,
yes.
right?
Actually, she's the reason I went to the hospital.
Because
yeah,
I think she said 3 years ago, prior
yes.
to that you attempted suicide, but she was off by a few years, I guess. So it wouldn't be unreasonable to assume maybe you were thinking of the same thing. Because you know, she was aware one time that you were.
Yes.
And you
yeah,
said,
I agree with that, yes.
You were behaving strangely. You gotta, can you admit that? It was different, out of character.
Me shutting my phone off, no.
That was not out of character?
No, that's not. When I need to calm down, I need to feed people. Because nowadays, people bombard you.
Back in 2013, how long were you in the hospital?
2 weeks.
In what hospital was that?
It was Yale New Haven, actually the pediatric ward.
Do you have any medical records from that stay?
No, that I do not.
Out of the two, that's the one that would probably have the most information. A little less current, but it would
okay.
have a
no,
lot of
actually, I don't even know if I have those records. I could get them. But
well, you may not, but they do. And I saw you did submit some medical records
yes.
from the most recent incident.
Yes.
And there's not much there. Other than it says you're going to follow up with Michelle Adelman?
Yes.
Did you do that?
Yes, I did.
Are you still doing that?
I stopped seeing her shortly after that. She was, unfortunately, not a good fit for me and my wife.
Mm-hmm.
So saw her 3 or 4 more times after that. And then we found Victor Pittman, who also has a letter in the file. I've been seeing him consistently since then.
From St. Vincent's Hospital? From St. Vincent's
yes.
Hospital. Discharge diagnosis, bipolar disorder, depression, psychiatric diagnosis deferred, and then suicidal behavior. That's what they, so it sounds like they say you were exhibiting suicidal behavior.
I have to disagree with that. When they spoke to me about that, they were basing that off of the transcription that Officer McCarthy did of our conversation.
Do you have, now when you go into the hospital, they will take notes of and dates and times and what you said, what the issue was. We don't have any of that here.
I didn't know if I could send it to you because of HIPAA, but I have it with me.
Well, it's your information. You could post
well,
it on the internet. If
okay.
You like.
Well, I'd
rather
the not.
Hospital can't release it to us, but you can do whatever you like.
So, and also it just.
Well, it's kind of too late now.
Oh, okay. But it really says nothing. All it does is talk about medications, which I don't take any. I take all natural supplements, and it just said to continue that. And to see the therapist.
Other than those two incidents, have you had suicidal thoughts?
No.
So the only two incidents where it happened, you ended up in the hospital?
Well, the second time.
The second one, you didn't.
I did.
You can't also have
yeah.
this.
And I did of my own.
With
the first time,
natural
I had the wherewithal to know
therapy.
That I needed to talk to someone.
How long were you in the hospital the most recent time?
3 days.
Okay.
So you were admitted to the hospital?
Yes.
You went there because the police made you?
Yeah, they brought me to, I'm not sure what hospital they brought me to, but then they transferred me to the St. Vincent's facility.
All right, so their initial intake in the emergency department said they must have thought maybe there's something here, and they sent you to a psychiatric?
I disagree. They were extremely combative. They kept reading what the officer McCarthy had written.
No, understand, but often the cases we see, someone goes in on an emergency admittal, and they're out within hours. When they're admitted, it's usually there's something more there.
Well, can I also know?
Not exactly the most thorough.
I know.
And they were speaking to her on the outside.
Sure.
And so it's...
How about medical documentation after those 3 days, of what the evaluation was and findings were, and things like that?
All they have is one book.
Fifth pathway.
You must have talked to a doc, a psychiatrist, or somebody.
Well, that would be Michelle Adelman, and she refused to write anything other than the letter you see there, which just states that I saw her. And then Victor Pittman, he wrote a letter pertaining to my current well-being since he's seen me.
Doesn't mention guns, though. Are they aware that you
he addressed it to the Board of Firearms. He knew what it was for.
Yeah, well, I kind of missed that letter, so I'm sure it's in there.
It was.
There it is. All right, that's all I have for now. I'm going to read the letter, and if I have another question, I'll ask you.
Very well.
I'm going to defer my questions about medicine and your natural supplement therapy to more educated commission members to my right. But let me ask you a question. Your sister reported to the police department that it was her belief that you attempted suicide with a handgun and the gun didn't go off. Mm-hmm. How did she get that information?
I don't know. It's in my defense. I've been around guns my whole life. If I actually, I mean, it's morbid, but if I were to try with a gun, especially the gun I had at the time, does not have any safeties on it. So I didn't do it. If I had tried, it would have happened. I didn't. I was reaching out for help. I know I talked to my sister about where my guns were. So, but that, there was never any mention. I've maintained that since that stay in the hospital.
Okay.
May I just jump in for 1 second? I have read the letter and actually had read it before, and I didn't realize it was addressed to the board. But my comment is the same. It doesn't mention firearms. It'd be nice if someone put in there. I understand he's applying for a permit. He is suitable and safe to carry a handgun, buy, purchase, and carry a handgun. But there's no, the letter doesn't address any of those issues.
But, I mean, I did speak to him. I mean, I was in session when I asked him for the letter. And
for some reason, he chose not to do that.
Well, by the fact that it's addressed to you and he knows what it's about, that's kind of self-explanatory. Otherwise, he wouldn't have written recommending letter.
But, okay, I had read the letter. I just didn't realize it was addressed to us. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know your sister made the claim that you tried to kill yourself with a gun and the gun didn't go off, right?
Yes.
Did you ever ask her why she said that?
Yes.
What'd she say?
She said she was worried. She was scared for me. And since she refused to believe initially that that is not what happened, that's...
Did she want the felony route and said it anyway?
Excuse me, what?
That's, you know, giving false reports to the police is a crime.
Well, it's my sister.
Okay.
She. Do you know what Manchusian's disease is?
I surprisingly, I do.
Okay. She's diagnosed with that, and okay. it's a struggle in the family, but...
Of it.
Everybody has something according to her.
Other questions by the board?
I'd like to focus a bit on the St. Vincent's inpatient stay. It
yes.
looks like it was a 3-day stay from
yes.
June 5th through June 8th. Is there a reason why you only submitted the first 5 pages of the 12-page patient summary?
Everything after that is, it's just... It's like whatever medications they talk about, take Advil, you know, don't take it for your stomach. It's all it is just...
What was actually recommended to you in the way of any medical... medically related treatment in addition to the referral back to the licensed counselor?
To continue seeing my counselor and to continue taking my supplements, which they supplied to me while I was there.
Did they treat you with any non-supplement pharmacotherapy? Do you know why they wrote bipolar disorder, depression, as well as psychiatric diagnosis deferred, which makes no sense to me as
that,
a psychiatrist?
I read that too. It didn't make any sense to me either. That's just what they, because when I was in the hospital the first time, they said I had situational late onset bipolar disorder, which made my, I took that.
There's no such thing.
That's what they explained it to me, mm-hmm. and they medicated the holy hell out of me, and I was basically.
You're talking about the 2013?
The 2013 incident, yes. So they wouldn't let me leave unless I took medication, because mm-hmm. back then as well, I always took natural supplements. I didn't mm-hmm. even take Tylenol at that point. I was very clean. And they said, basically, if you want to go home, you have to take this.
Mm-hmm. What did they recommend to you back then?
It's been a lot. The first one was, all I remember is it gave me extreme tremors, but it helped me sleep. I honestly cannot remember the name of the drug, but I went on, it was basically a cocktail of nonstop. Take this for this side effect, take that for that side effect. My children didn't recognize me. I couldn't hold my job barely. Thank God for family medical leave, because I couldn't even get up and go to work. I had shown up at 10 o'clock every day as opposed to 6.
When did you discontinue the medication?
I weaned off the pharmaceuticals in 2016. I was under the care of, I think it's Mihail Boran. She's out of Derby, Connecticut, and my naturopathic doctor is Dr. Tina Zigo. So they were comparing notes with blood work, and I came off of the pharmaceuticals and transitioned onto the natural supplements. Because I wasn't taking any natural supplements.
Have you had any subsequent episodes of either mania or depression?
No.
Since 2013?
No. Throughout 2013 to 2016, because of the medical cocktail I was on, mm-hmm. I was extremely depressed. It was nonstop depression. I cried all the time. Like I said, I almost got fired from my job. It was very hard. Coming off those medications was the best thing I ever did in my life.
And just to be clear, with reference to the 2018 discharge, the discharge summary, the discharge physician did not recommend psychotropic medication?
No. Well, I had reiterated to them as well, because uh-huh. we've had this conversation, and I said, I'm just one of those people.
If a physician felt strongly about it, they would have recommended it anyway. So
yes.
It sounds like they concurred, the doctor concurred with your plan to continue your supplements?
Yes.
And then I just would reiterate what the chief said. It's unfortunate that the licensed marriage and family therapist you're currently seeing didn't put more detail into his letter saying, I've treated this individual. I feel that he's safe to handle a handgun. I would support his being reissued his permit to really speak to the issues. So that's just some information passing along to you to potentially use going forward.
I did mention that to him, and he said the same thing I said to the officer, that he said it's self-explanatory. Since I'm addressing it to a pistol permit board,
yeah.
I am addressing a pistol permit.
Yeah.
Those were his words.
Unfortunately not so. Also to clarify if he feels that you have a medically based psychiatric disorder or not. I mean, to be very, very specific about the issues that not only issuing authorities, but we as the board consider, is there an active psychiatric diagnosis? If it is it under good control? Is it under control or not under control? How is it being under control? Does it exist or not? Is this person safe to handle a gun? All explicitly detailed in a letter is what if I felt that way, would I would write to one of my patients to be explicitly clear.
I would have also liked to have seen something from your naturopath that she's somehow managing.
I haven't seen her in years, other than for acupuncture, but that's...
Okay. Who's managing your bipolar issue?
I just continue the supplements.
And who manages your depression issue?
I don't have any depression issues. And the bipolar issues, I mean, whether they're there or not, the supplements take care of that.
And you said you fell out of a helicopter. What is it that you were doing for a living?
I worked at Sikorsky Aircraft, and I was
on... Do you still work at Sikorsky?
Yes.
And what do you do there,
I drill a lot of holes. I do tool location and things like this.
I don't have anything for this.
Sir, just as a general evidentiary matter, I know you said that the rest of the medical record just had, I guess, not pertinent information. It doesn't look good to the board when we have pages 1 of 12 through 5.
I was just trying to be...
I understand that, but just for future reference. Just for future reference. Other comments? Questions?
I'll just make one more comment.
Sure.
A piece of advice to the appellant. This is a patient summary. It's not really a discharge summary. And so typically they're pretty sparse in what they say, and if you're ever in a situation like this again, I would urge you to say that I want the physician's discharge summary from
it
the
says
hospital.
Discharge instructions.
It's instructions, that's all it is.
I just saw the word discharge, that's what they
yeah.
gave me.
But so that's my piece of advice. Could ask for the initial intake assessment. And then the discharge summary is a separate document as opposed to discharge instructions, and it really details out the course of your treatment over the period of your hospitalization and more thoroughly and completely delineates diagnoses and recommendations for treatment.
A lot of people
make this mistake.
But I called about it, and I was told that just to bring, I mean, I apologize if I... discharge instructions. I didn't realize there were two documents.
Yeah.
But I was told just to bring this and to point out that whatever the follow-up instructions were that I had adhered to that. That's what I was told to do.
By the hospital?
By somebody here. It might have been you when I called 2 or 3 weeks ago.
I don't answer the phone.
Whoever answered the phone. I called twice. The first time I called, you told me what to bring. The second time, I had the dates wrong and I showed up last week on the 9th instead of the 19th. So when I called back, I was like, because when I originally got the package, I didn't have time. I mean, I was frantically calling the first therapist because I stopped seeing her kind of on bad terms because her and my wife kind of had it out in the session and that was kind of the end of it. So she didn't get back to me for probably 2 weeks and she finally did. That's how I got that letter. Mm-hmm. But then I realized I had another week. So that's when I sent everything because I thought I was just going to bring it in. Then you clarified, oh no, make sure you send it. And that's when I emailed it.
Yeah.
Okay. So we did speak twice.
Yeah.
So just for your information.
I appreciate that.
And doctor, just to clarify, you can request your entire medical file, can't you?
Yes, you can.
All medical records.
That would be the way to do it. Say from this date to this date.
I just had everything pertaining to the discharge from that day because that's what I thought I needed. I didn't realize we're going to be going.
The more the merrier.
Now I know.
Sir, do you have any other witnesses?
No.
Okay. You may make a brief closing statement if you'd like.
Just to reiterate everything I said, I've been 100% law-abiding citizen. The two times, well, actually the one time that I was severely depressed, I had the wherewithal to bring myself to the hospital and tell them that I needed help. And since then, I've been fine, other than the medication issues that I worked through after 3 years. This comes down to basically a red flag law case where red flags are great. I believe in them. I think it's important that if somebody does something wrong or says something that's truly threatening, but in this case, I didn't say anything that warranted my sister's reaction and I don't want to go over her too much because she's not here to defend herself, and it's, then I do believe I'm in HIPAA violations by discussing her medical stuff, but she's been problematic with this kind of thing with my father and my sister, so it's, that's what led to that phone call. And if Officer McCarthy was here, I'd apologize to her, because I was stubborn. I didn't want to say what she wanted me to say. I wanted to be left alone. But at the end of the day, she did help me with my mother-in-law.
Lieutenant, would you like to make a closing statement?
No, I believe the board has all the information that we have, so thank you.
Comments by the board? Seeing none, I don't know where I started.
I'll start.
Attorney Iaconis.
Issue authority.
Dr. Conrad.
She wasn't expecting that. She thought you were going left.
Do you want me to go left?
You can go left. I'll think a little bit more.
Okay. Colonel Lewis.
Issue authority.
Chief Rosenzweig.
Issue authority.
Dr. Conrad.
I'm going to say issuing authority at this time. I do feel that I would have felt more comfortable with your commentary on the events if some of the documentation was more complete. So I'm going to say issuing authority at this time.
Thank you. And Acting Chair votes issuing authority at this time. You are all set, gentlemen.
I have a quick question.
We will answer it if we can.
Okay, it's just about rules and regulations. Reapplying.
You may reapply.
You can go right ahead.
Yep.
12 months
and
a day.
Have to
wait. Right now.
You have to wait 12 months and a day from the first time you know, from the day you applied the first time.
Okay.
My guess is you're there.
Yes, today. You can, well.
What would be really helpful to you is a letter from your treating doctor or a psychiatrist. I know he's applying for a pistol permit. I'm aware of the suicide attempts or thoughts in 2013, this incident in 2018, and anything else in there. And considering all that, the treatment, we find him to be suitable to you.
Okay. And since I know I'm automatically going to be back here, so. Add the letter with the issuing, with the permit.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
You don't come back here, you go to the hospital.
Okay.
And get more.
You have to convince them.
Okay.
Get the right records from the hospital.
And get the right records to supply
that. Discharge recommendation.
And you have a case to make.
I always tell them any medical documentation that they can get to me.
Yes.
I don't have specifics.
Okay, I hate to do this. It's 1:36, and as Chairman Blando would say, I'm going to need a middle-aged lady break. I will be back in 5 minutes.
Thank you.